This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Hey guys, this is Insurance and Finance live from the headquarter of Digital Scouting in Hamburg, Germany, and from the city that never sleeps. Last year in 2020, we had them all. Entrepreneurs, unicorn entrepreneurs, billionaires, regulators, movers and shakers of finance and insurance. And in order to crush it in 2021, we have him here, star investor, multi-entrepreneur, best-selling author, CEO of VaynerMedia, and future owner of the Jets. Thank you very much for being here, Gary.
Thank you so much, Robin, for having me.
Let's start with a question that's personally my most favorite one. Last time we met in London office, I gave you a jersey of my beloved Hamburg Sports Club. Yeah, and I asked you to at least consider buying them first and then the Jets, just as a pilot. Do we get a deal, no deal, or maybe a polite maybe?
It's much more in between maybe and no deal in the most polite way, because I adore you and I'm happy to be on your show. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. At least I will try every time. Maybe we'll be successful one. But we won the Champions League in 1983. So at least something is there. But let's go get serious. Let's talk about insurance. And by the way, if you're out there, please do not hesitate to share, comment, hug your phone in order to show the algorithms that you love this show. We are on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, and also on TikTok. And we will also get questions from you. And don't hesitate to ask Gary questions. Insurance. My big question to you is, how do you as a private person or as a company buy insurance? And maybe you can tell a little bit more about that. It would be, I think, super interesting for everybody out here.
With insurance, with money management, with all serious things, I as a human being am very similar to a lot of the world, which is not very educated, often, like many others, it's based on relationships. You know, my early insurance buying was done because my dad was buying his store insurance from somebody. Later on, my story was, I was selling a lot of wine to a lot of people as my career was blossoming, and I met a lot of significant insurance leaders. And so bought insurance from a couple of other individuals along the way for my company. When we started hiring people like CFOs and things of that nature, they came with their proper, relationships of the past. So my career around insurance has been pretty much predicated on relationships, which is really very common for the industry. What I think is more interesting to me, and you've been a big case study to this, is I'm blown away in happiness of how much my thesis of Crush It that I wrote, in 2009 has become real for insurance sellers, especially with the massive explosion of LinkedIn, right? Marcel, Christopher, Dr. Matthias, all leaving comments right now. We've seen your comments, by the way, so feel free to leave them. Linked all on LinkedIn, by the way. Yeah. LinkedIn has become an incredible social network for B2B behavior-driven individuals. And I think the consideration to do business with insurance companies and insurance agents through that behavior has been massive. And I think will continue to grow, and for sure has started becoming a bigger part of my consideration. I have a meeting for the first time with somebody around my will based on a piece of content that they put out on LinkedIn. So I don't have to tell you, you're one of the leaders in this. I think that it will be two things. It will be the humans that build personal brand on these platforms.
Yeah.
And it will be historical relationships, right? Not super
what complicated. What I really love about this, it's a combination between offline, which you have very, and I've been an insurance agent myself for some time. So, I think it's a relationship business still, but I think you need to put it on steroids with digital tools. And by the way, we have also some C-suits here watching. Matthias, for example, is one. So it's really getting listened. Let's talk about something else. So thank you very much for sharing that, because it shows if you are as a digital, not only, no, maybe maybe not native, but digital first person are still valuing this personal relationship. It means that personal relationships are not dead, but—
Let's talk about that for a second. I'm sorry, let's talk about that. I believe that digital relationships are the gateway to actual relationships.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's the same story with us here as insurance and insurtech influencer. It starts in online, then you meet the person, and then you get this whole different level. But I have another topic for you. One thing insurers and banks super struggle with is banks find it difficult with identifying trends, innovation, business opportunities. I mean, we were the last with apps. We were the last on Facebook. We were the last on LinkedIn, and probably most of them are going to be last on TikTok too. On the other hand, you identify all over the time, change in society, underlying trends, and you acted on it. Yeah, you put your personal money into Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Uber. What could you recommend decision makers in the insurance and finance industry how to identify these trends and actually act on it?
On number two, do not use regulation as an excuse, right? It's the number one thing that everybody in this industry does. Oh, I can't do that. It's not allowed. It is. Certain things are not allowed. Lots of things are not allowed in society. You can't take a knife and stab somebody. Not allowed, but you're allowed to be a human. Well, guess what? You're allowed to post content. You're not allowed to make claims that are not true.
Yep.
You're not allowed to share people's personal information. So for number two, how to act on it, by not using legalities and rules as a stopper. As far as number one, it's kind of like exercise.
Yeah.
I spend, even though I'm busy and have a lot of things to do, I spend meaningful time trying to look at the top apps downloaded on the App Store, to, you know, follow and read publications that talk about emerging tech, to looking at comments on social media and seeing what's trending. I make it my job to pay attention to who's up and coming as an influencer, as a music artist, and definitely as apps. And I appreciate what was just thrown up there. Thank you, Dr. Mathias. It's true. Regulation in the financial services, insurance, and other categories has been a constant excuse for not making content on the internet. So that's my answer, Robin. I think it comes down to looking for it.
I just today talked to a reinsurer, and we also love with reinsurers, not only direct insurers. And he said they are worried about the webinar because it could have some cartel consequences. I'm like, guys, it's in the internet. I mean, you know, don't worry too much about it. I think it's super important that what you say is that you, as a worldwide brand, as an entrepreneur of several large companies, and not to forget that one, that you still spend time yourself on the internet and test this out and do not delegate it. I think that's a super strong message to all decision makers out there. Spend the time, half an hour a day, whatever it is, do that and just delete a senseless meeting. Another topic I would love to talk about is consulting, because our industry has always been allergic for consulting. And VaynerMedia is not only an agency, I would say, but it's actually a consulting company, because I've been also, you know, with your London office a little bit. What do you say to people in the insurance industry that say, nah, we don't need any help, any consulting? Or do you also hear this in other industries?
Every industry. Consulting's scary, right? To get paid for thinking scares people. I understand that. As a matter of fact, to your point, VaynerMedia, it took us 10 years to start doing consulting because I realized so many people wanted our brains but didn't want to pay for us to execute it, which was fine by me. I'm to be honest with you, I'm agnostic to that. I don't really have a passion to get money for something that people don't want to spend for. On the flip side, once we realized how to, in essence, produce $1 million consulting product for $150,000, it became one of our biggest parts of our business. So I think consulting's scary. I for one, am not a big fan also of doing it. However, the couple times I've done it, it's been really valuable because the information, you know, knowledge is power.
Yeah.
And if you're unable to get specific, you know, here's what I would say about consulting. I can sit here and talk about social media marketing and brand building in a way that's very advanced for free.
Yeah.
going into a company and spending 12 and 18 weeks and crossing T and I on every real reality exponentially grows the impact. Both, in my opinion, can work. I think, I think consulting is like anything in the world. Wine is a good idea for $40 when the wine is very good for $40, and a very bad idea when the wine is not good for $40. Conferences that you pay $500 for a ticket is a very good idea when the content on stage is great, and a very bad idea when it is not.
I would love to quote my wife on the wine thing, because she once came to me very seriously after we had some wine in the next morning and said, Robin, over 30 years old, you are too old to have wine, or wine for $7 is not a good deal anymore. And since then we buy better wine. So just as a fun side note from my wife there. That's for the consulting. And by the way, that's what we do too. We give away a lot of studies, a lot of content for free on insurance and insurtech trends. We travel around the world when that still was possible. And we will do again if it's possible, you know, give me the shot. but let's go to another topic. Decision makers ask me sometimes in the insurance industry, Robin, what's the next big thing? And then I say, for me, it's TikTok. One of the topics is TikTok. A lot of other things are out there, but it's TikTok. We grew to 100,000 followers. We have millions and millions of organic views. You will laugh about it, probably. The community began to call me even names. They called me CEO of Diggy, which is CEO of Bro. And we have even merch shops now. It's not a multi-million dollar business, but it's funny. It's just a lot of fun. And we also stream to TikTok, and we will take a question from TikTok in a minute. But my big question is, a lot intellectually know that we have a lot of super, super smart people in the industry, even on board level. But why don't they act? And what would you help them on or arguing, guys, you need to act on social media and now, and even on TikTok?
Brand always outpaces sales. That's it.
So what do you mean with that? Because the next question people ask when they say, okay, maybe 20 million views a month isn't too bad for a country with 80 million people that live there. When do we make money with it?
Well, I ask them when they make money, when they run a commercial for $150,000.
You will love.
you always make money when you have brand. Nike doesn't knock on your door and sales to you. You know it. To me, brand over everything. And the same way that, again, Robin, this is the same old argument. Making content on LinkedIn every day is far more effective than buying a booth at a conference or buying a full page ad in a B2B magazine. Yet, because they've been buying booths at conferences or buying B2B magazine print for 40 years, they think it works, but they don't think LinkedIn content or TikTok works. Yeah. I understand this. I just, I'll be honest with you, Robin, I'm not in the business of convincing people.
Yeah.
I'm not in the business of convincing people. I'm in the business of putting out my thoughts to be historically correct, to build my own brand so that people believe what I'm saying has more weight as my career with my gray hairs keeps going up. That's it. So for me, what do I say to people? I say, this is what I believe is happening. It's been very obvious that this is what's been happening for 20 years. And if you're not interested in adjusting to it, I think that's at the detriment of building your business. And how do you make money? You make, when people know who you are and what you sell, they end up doing business with you. And this is brand building. I don't know what else to tell you.
And I think what's super important is what we feel when we are out there, when we get incoming business, and it can be an insurance agent, can be a multi-billion dollar company, or can be a small agency or company like ours, you get in contact with people that actually want to do the stuff you are talking about. And not, you need to know, you don't need to, you have a different set of people you talk to. And that would be great also for the insurance and finance industry. I have a question from the audience, and that's Sanel. He asks, do you think influencers or self-created animated characters will work better in advertising? Super specific question.
Sanel, I think you picked up something. I created this character, Lil V. It's an animation. I think the reason Sanel is asking this question is if you look at insurance, you look at Flo from Progressive, right? You look at State Farm, you look at Geico, right? you know, I'm a very big fan of animation because you own it. Mickey Mouse never goes into contract dispute with Disney, right?
That's a good one.
Right? Mickey Mouse never goes into contract dispute with Disney. And so the reason I believe in animation and creating characters is because you own the IP. When you do influencers, you know, Denzel Washington could be your face for 3 years, but then when he wants to double his fee and you can't afford it, you lose that equity that you created. So yeah, I'm a very, very big fan of animated characters and other ways to own IP to build awareness for boring things like insurance.
You know, that's a good point, because we are always super afraid of IP and suits and whatever. But if you have your own animated character, I think that was a super smart question. Thank you very much, Sanel, for asking it. So that's very cool, and you get a lot of you know, feedback here. Let's talk. And by the way, we were on the TikTok level here, and I started TikTok actually in November last year, not the year before, 2019. After I think 27 podcasts of you pounding into our head, you should start it now. And I really did. And then we became successful on there. So thank you very much for that. I need to think about how can I make it up.
Can I take this moment real quick on that moment? Watching you succeed is a very big deal for me. It's because you are in a category that is not wine, is not sneakers. You've executed. And even though, and this is important, I want everybody to hear this. This is not, I'm not saying this just to make Robin feel good, though it's a nice byproduct. You know, when we met together in London, it was very obvious. I'm like, oh, here is a byproduct of a thesis I had. And it feels so nice because others have had the thesis, others communicate the thesis. It's so nice that this man is benefiting from seeing some of my free content and going and building his dream. You felt those effects. Fast forward, TikTok. You said something very important here. I recognize that TikTok's the next thing, like I've done for 15 years. You knew that to be true, because that's why you jumped on it. And yet, it took 27, whether it was 13, whether it was 55, what I can promise you, it wasn't the first time. The first time you heard me say TikTok, you said, 13, 14-year-old girls, TikTok's not big in Germany, whatever you said. Even though you were advanced, you were not in the 101 class. You already were in the 301 class. You might have even been in the business school at this point. Yet, even for you, after the success you felt from the model of go where the attention is, be patient, build brand, even for you, it took. And then you go and you find incredible success. Because don't forget, you built up 100,000 person audience on a very young, your future customers, right? And so I wanted everybody to hear that. I'll tell you why. Doing new things, taking the risk of doing it in new platforms, having, and I know what everyone's thinking, having the potential for it to be a waste of time, people look at the downside instead of the upside. Even when they've already tasted the upside of the same execution somewhere else. So as you can imagine, if for you it took 27 times, I have a lot of empathy why it takes 539 times from somebody who's never felt the levels of success. The end.
I want to add one thing, because you mentioned sneakers and you're probably going to laugh right now. But what happens when you're present on the internet actually is it's a little bit less big than K-Swiss, I need to say. But actually, there was a fashion brand coming after us and said, Robin, let's do a insurance industry sneaker, hand-painted, insane. So cool. And, you know, everybody knows I have a radio face, you know?
I think you're a little cuter than you think.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Okay, I have a last topic. I think when we talk about sales, you had already a lot of things for salespeople in what you said, put out content in that. One of the most important sentences you said that struck me was not about business, not about intelligent hacking, but actually about parenting. One thing, I work for one of the richest family in Germany for a time, so it's always super important to understand how to actually successful people raise their kids and give it forward. And what you said was, you cannot let your children live your own childhood, especially when it's like first generation success. What do you mean by that? And what is the secret of providing children in these days? Because we have a lot of mamas and papas out there watching. What do you think is a secret to providing everything they need beyond finances and food?
Love and support and lack of judgment and compassion to their different. You know, I can't ask my children to be as hungry as I was because I was an immigrant and had nothing and my parents weren't in a financial place to buy me toys. And so I had to learn for myself. At the same token, it's not about spoiling your children. It's just about understanding that they live in a different environment. And so to me, it's the biggest thing that mistake I think parents make is they view their children as a reflection of themselves.
Yeah.
And so if your kid isn't successful in school or sports or something else, you actually worry about what other people think, which is terrible. I think that people need to listen to their kids, figure out what makes them happy, what makes them tick, and then support that instead of what you think will make them happy, or even scarier, Robin, what you want them to do to make you look good to your coworkers, your sometimes to your own parents, sometimes to your own sibling, sometimes to your own best friends. People use their kids as objects to show that they're winning, and that's terrible. And so I don't need my children to be good entrepreneurs. I need my children to be good human beings and to be happy. And I think I wish there was more simplicity in parenting.
And I wish that sometimes too. Shout out to my daughter when she ever watches it. But I think what's important there is it really made me think when you said that, because I was like already on the on what happens when she or he is not like that. And I'm like, after that, it really made me change thinking. It's impossible for a person that does not experience the same things to do the things. And it's actually totally unfair to that person, by the way. So I take that. Let's go to the last ones. I have like a few sentences I would love you to end the sentences. My first sentence is Hamburg Sports Club will win the Champions League again if.
If Robin buys the team.
Well, I would say to all you watching people out there, if you have a little bit of money extra, I'm happy to also start a fund on behalf of Hamburg Sports Club. Hamburg being one of the richest cities in Europe. So I'm open for that. Okay, next question. The first viral insurance video on TikTok will be?
Robin's.
An insurance I love would exist if?
If it was so simple that I could understand it in 30 seconds.
Love it. Robin should admit his new book is written by ghostwriter because?
I did as well and it doesn't have any negative impact.
And nobody believes me anyway that I have any time to write it. The next person on this show should be?
Someone that talks about audio, podcasting, Clubhouse, audio is the next wave.
Gary, thank you very much for being here. It has been a pleasure.
Thank you, my friend.
To your family, health. Say thank you to your great
aunt. Thank you very much. Thanks, everyone.
Bye, guys. Have a great one. And squeeze this button, like, share, and comment as you can. Thank you very much. And have a great night. I'm surely going to be exhausted now. And thank you very much for everything.
All right. Episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's highlighted review is There's Not Enough Gary V by Ms. Brondstetter. Gary has changed my life in ways I will never even be able to explain. I heard his words deep inside of me right when I needed it most, and I will forever be grateful for his indescribable influence on my life. How incredible is it that we live in the same era as Gary V? Keep those reviews coming, or we could highlight yours next.